Go.
Up next, a special Ubu Hour presentation, an audio dramatization of Alfred Jarry's second Ubu play, Ubu Koku, or Ubu Cuckolded. Ubu Cuckolded was written in the 1890s and originally performed by the marionettes of the Theatre des Finances. Act 1.
Our drama begins at the home of Akras, who is alone with his collection of polyhedra. Akras says to himself,
"Oh, but it's like this. Look you, I've no grounds to be dissatisfied with my polyhedra. They breed every 6 weeks. They're worse than rabbits. And it's also quite true to say that the regular polyhedra are the most faithful and the most devoted to their master. Except that this morning, the icosahedron was a little fractious. So that I was compelled, look you, to give it a smack on each of its 20 faces. And that's the kind of language they understand. And my thesis, look you, on the habits of polyhedra, it's getting along nicely, thank you. Only another 25 volumes.
A flunky enters a room to tell Akras.
Sir! There's a bloke out here who wants a word with you. He's pulled the bell up with its ringing and he's broken 3 chairs trying to sit down. Here's his card.
The flunky hands Akras a card.
What's all this? Heir Ubu, sometime king of Poland and Aragon, professor of pataphysics? That makes no sense at all. What's all that about? Pataphysics? Well, never mind. He sounds like a person of distinction. I should like to make a gesture of goodwill to this visitor by showing him my polyhedra. Have the gentleman come up.
The flunky exits. In a moment, the obscenely obese Pa Ubu lumbers into the room carrying a suitcase.
Horns trumpet, sir! What a miserable kind of hangout you've got here! We've been obliged to tinkle away for more than an hour, and when your flunkies at last make up their minds to let us in, we are confronted by such a miserable orifice that we are at a loss to understand how our strumpet managed to negotiate it.
Oh, but it's like this, excuse me. I was very far from expecting the visit of such a considerable personage. Otherwise, you can be sure I would have had the door enlarged. But you must forgive the humble circumstances of an old collector who is, at the same time, I venture to say, a famous scientist.
Say that by all means if it gives you any pleasure. But remember that you are addressing a celebrated pataphysician.
Excuse me, sir, you said?
Pataphysician. Pataphysics is a branch of science which we invented and for which a crying need is generally experienced.
Oh, but it's like this. If you're a famous inventor, we'll understand each other, look you, for between great men...
A little more modesty, sir. Besides, I see no great man here except myself. But since you insist, I have condescended to do you a most signal honor. Let it be known to you, sir, that your establishment suits us and that we have decided to make ourselves at home here.
Oh, but it's like this, look you.
We will dispense with your expressions of gratitude. And by the way, I nearly forgot. Since it is hardly proper that a father should be separated from his children, we shall be joined by our family in the immediate future. Madam Ubu, together with our dear sons and daughters, Ubu. They're all very quiet, decent, well brought up folk.
But it's like this. Look, you, I'm afraid.
We
look, you,
quite understand. You're afraid of boring us. All right, then. We'll no longer tolerate your presence here except by our kind permission. One thing more. While we are inspecting the kitchens and the dining room, you will go and look for 3 packing cases which we have had deposited in the hall.
Oh, but it's like this. Fancy even thinking of moving in like that on people. It's a manifest imposture.
A magnificent posture. Exactly, sir. For once in your life, you've spoken the truth.
In frustration, Akras departs from the room.
Have we any right to behave like this? Horn strumpet, by our green candle, let us consult our conscience. There he is, in this suitcase, all covered with cobwebs. As you can see, we don't overwork him.
Tom Ubu opens the suitcase, and his conscience emerges, wearing a dress shirt.
Sir, and so on and so forth. Be so good as to take a few notes.
Excuse me, sir. We are not very partial to writing, though we have no doubt that anything you say would be most interesting. And while we're on the subject, we would like to know how you have the insolence to appear before us in your shirt tails.
Sir, and so on and so forth. Conscience, like truth, usually goes without a shirt. If I have to put one on, it is as a mark of respect to the distinguished audience.
As for that, Mr. or Mrs. Conscience, you're making a fuss about nothing. Answer this question instead. Would it be a good thing to kill Mr. Akris, who has had the audacity to come and insult me in my own house?
Sir, and so on and so forth, to return good with evil is unworthy of a civilized man. Mr. Akris has lodged you. Mr. Akris has received you with open arms and made you free of his collection of polyhedra. Mr. Akris and so forth is a fine fellow and perfectly harmless. It would be a most cowardly act and so forth to kill a poor old man who is incapable of defending himself.
Horn strumpet! Mr. Conscience, are you so sure that he can't defend himself?
Absolutely, sir. So it would be a coward's trick to do away with him.
Thank you, sir. We shan't require you further. Since there's no risk attached, we shall assassinate Mr. Akris. And we shall also make a point of consulting you more frequently, for you know how to give us better advice than we had anticipated. Now, into the suitcase with you.
In which case, sir, I think we shall have to leave it.
Shuts his conscience back in the suitcase. A moment later, Akras re-enters the room, walking backwards and prostrating himself with terror before the 3 large red packing cases pushed by the flunky.
Off with you, sloven! And you, sir, I want a word with you. I wish you every kind of prosperity, and I entreat you, out of the kindness of your heart, to perform a friendly service for me.
Anything, look you, which you can reasonably demand from an old professor who has given up 60 years of his life, look you, to studying the habits of polyhedra.
Sir, we have learned that our virtuous wife, Madam Ubu, is most abominably deceiving us with an Egyptian by the name of Memnon, who combines the functions of a clock at dawn with driving of the sewage truck at night, and in the daytime presents himself as cornutator of our person. Horn strumpet! We have decided to wreak the most terrible vengeance.
As far as that goes, look you, sir, as to being a cuckold, I can sympathize with you.
We have resolved, then, to inflict a severe punishment, and we can think of nothing more appropriate to chastise the guilty, in this case, than ordeal by impalement.
Excuse me, I still don't see very clearly. Look you, how I can be of any help.
By our green candle, sir. Since we have no wish for the execution of our sentence to be bungled, we should esteem it as a compliment if a person of your standing were to make a preliminary trial of the stake.
Oh, but...
Just to make sure it is functioning with maximum efficiency.
Oh, but it's like this, look you, not on your life. That's too much. I regret, look you, that I can't perform this little service for you, but it's quite out of the question. You've stolen my house from me, look you. You've told me to bugger off, and now you want to put me to death. Oh no, that's going too far.
Don't distress yourself, my good friend. It was only our little joke. We shall return when you have quite recovered your composure.
Ha Ubu exits the room. Three palcontents climb out of the large red packing cases and they begin to sing.
One, two, three.
We are the palcontents. We are the palcontents. With a face like a rabbit. Without no reason. Our bloody good habit of croaking the blow. What lives on his rest? We are the pals. We are the cons. We are the palcontents. Each in his box of steel, imprisoned all the week we kneel, for Sunday is the only day that we're allowed to get away. Ears to the wind, without surprise, we march along with vigorous step, and all the onlookers cry, yep, they must be soldiers, damn their eyes.
Every morning we are called by the master's boot on our behind, and half awake our backs are galled by the money satchels we have to mind. All day the hammer never ceases as we chip your skulls to 1,000 pieces, until we bring to Pa-Ube the dough from the steps we're croaked this day.
Now ridiculous uniforms, we wander through the streets so pansy. Or else we love the buckle and bell of every slag he takes a fancy. We get our eats through platinum teats. We pee through a tap without a handle. And we inhale the atmosphere through a tube as bent as a Dutchman's handle.
The palcontents surround Akras as they dance, pushing him into a chair as they continue to sing.
Oh, but it's like this, look you. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense at all.
A sharp stake rises beneath the chair where he sits.
Oh dear, I don't understand it. If you were only my polyhedra, look you! Have mercy on a poor old professor! Look! Look you! It's out of the question!
Akras is impaled and raised in the air. Malcontents ransack the room. Smashing the furniture. They're pulling out bags stuffed full with C9.
Give the cash to
Pa-u-boo.
Give all the cash to Pa-u-boo. Let nothing remain, not even a sou, to go down the drain for the revenue.
Give all the cash to Pa-u-boo.
Akras, impaled on the stake, passes out. Pa-u-boo and Ma-u-boo enter the room.
By my green candle, sweet child, how happy we shall be in this house.
There's only one thing lacking to my happiness, my dear friend, an opportunity to greet the worthy host who has placed such entertainment at our disposal.
Don't let that bother you, my dear, to anticipate your wish. I had him installed in the place of honor.
Pa-u-boo points to the stake. Ma-u-boo sees the impaled Akras and...
Oh, but it's...
Hang on a second, sorry. Do I have more lines?
Act 2.
Akras, still impaled, opens his eyes and sees Pa-u-boo's conscience in the room with him.
Run, Sir, and
so on and so forth.
There must be something beyond this, Sir, but what? I ought to be dead. Leave me in peace.
Sir, although my philosophy condemns outright any form of action, what Mr. Ubu has done is really too disgraceful. So I'm going to disimpale you.
I have no objection, sir.
There, you are disimpaled. So on and so forth. I should like to have a word with you.
Oh, but it's like this. Look, you, pray don't mention it. I should never be so rude as to sit down in the presence of an ethereal spirit to whom I owe my life. And besides, it's just not on.
My inner voice and sense of justice tell me it's my duty to punish Mr. Ubu. What revenge would you suggest?
Hey, but it's like this, look you. I've thought about it for a long time. I shall simply unfasten the trap door into the cellar. Hey, put the armchair on the edge, look you. And when the fellow, look you, comes in for his dinner, he'll bust the whole thing in, hey? And that'll make some sense. Goody, goody.
Justice will be done, and so forth.
At the sound of Pa-u-boo's heavy footsteps, Ubu's conscience slips back into the suitcase. Pa-u-boo enters the room.
Horn strumpet! You, sir, certainly haven't stayed put as I arranged you. Well, since you're still alive, to be of use to us, don't forget to tell your cook that she's in the habit of serving the soup with too much salt in it, and that the joint was overdone. That's not at all the way we like them. It's not that we aren't able, by our skill in pataphysics, to make the most exquisite dishes rise from the earth, but that doesn't prevent your method, sir, from provoking our indignation.
Oh, but it's like this, I promise you it will never happen again. Look you.
Pa-u-boo sits down.
Horn strumpet, sir, what is the meaning of this farce? Your floorboards are in a rotten state. We shall be obliged to make an example of you.
It's only a trapdoor. Look you.
Mr. Ubu is too fast. He'll never go through.
By my green candle, a trapdoor must be either open or shut. All the beauty of the financial theater consists in the smooth functioning of its trapdoors. This one is choking us. It's flaying our transverse colon and our great epiplone. Unless you constrict us, we shall certainly croak.
All that's in my power, look you, is to charm your last moments by the reading of some sort of the catechalistic passages, look you, of my treatise on the habits of polyhedra, and of the thesis which I have taken 60 years to compose on the tissues of the planet section. You'd rather not? Oh, very well, I'm off. I couldn't bear to watch you give up the ghost. It's quite too sad.
Akris exits the room, leaving Pa Ubu's fat horn strumpet stuck in the trapdoor.
My conscience, where are you? Horn strumpet, you certainly gave us good advice. We shall do penance and perhaps restore into your hands some small fraction of what we have taken. We shall desist from the use of our debraining machine.
Sir, I've never wished for the death of a sinner, and so on and so forth. I offer you a helping hand.
Hurry up, sir, we're dying. Pull us out of this trapdoor without delay, and we shall accord you a full day's leave of absence from your suitcase.
Ubu's conscious pulls Pa Ubu out of the floorboards. And then throws the suitcase down in the hole.
Thank you, sir. Sir, there's no better exercise than gymnastics. Ask any health expert.
Horn strumpet, sir, you play the fool too much. To show you our superiority in this, as in everything else, we are going to perform the prestidigitatious leap, which may surprise you when you take into account the enormity of our strumpot.
Ubu prepares to run and jump.
Sir, I entreat you, don't do anything of the sort. You'll only stove in the floor completely and disappear down another hole. Observe our light touch.
As Ubu comes down on the floorboards, his conscience flies up on the opposite side and gets trapped in a coat bag on the wall, hanging upside down by his feet. Flailing his arms, he screams,
Oh, help! I shall rupture something! Come and help me, Mr. Ubu!
Instead, Paul Ubu sits down.
Oh no, we shall do nothing of the kind, sir. We're performing our digestive functions at this moment. And the slightest dilatation of our strumpet might instantly prove fatal. In 2 or 3 hours. At the most, the digestive process will be finalized in the proper manner and we'll fly to your aid. And besides, we are by no means in the habit of unhooking such tatters off the peg.
Oh, help!
Ubu's conscience wriggles around until he falls from the peg and onto Ubu's enormous drum pot.
Ah, that's too much, sir. We don't tolerate anyone camping about on us. At least of all, you.
Unable to locate the suitcase to put away his conscience, Pa Ubu grabs his conscience by the feet, opens the lavatory door at the end of the room, and shoves the conscience head first down the toilet. The palcontents rise up out of their packing cases, while Paul Ubu sits down at the table and lights his green candle.
Hey, mister. Some folks has all the trouble. Mr. Rebontier's already had 11 doses of the bleed pig machine this morning in the Place de la Concorde. Hoy!
Mister, like you told me to, I've carried a case of explosive knuckle dusters to Mr. and a pot full of shit, mister.
Oi. I've been in Egypt, mister, and I've brought back that there singing Memnon, by reason of which matter, as I don't know if he rightly has to be wound up, before he sings every morning, I've deposited him in the penny bag. Oi.
Silence, you clot! We are moved to meditation. The sphere is the perfect form. The sun is the perfect planet. And in us, nothing is more perfect than our head, always uplifted toward the sun and aspiring to its shape. Except perhaps the human eye, mirror of that star and cast in its likeness. The sphere is the form of angels, yet more perfect than a cylinder. Less perfect than the sphere radiates the barrel's hyper-physical body. We, its isomorph, are passing fair.
This barrel that rolls, arrow that rolls, arrow that rolls is Pop Ubu. And his trumpet is huge, his trumpet huge, his trumpet huge, his trumpet huge, is like a...
It would seem a matter of urgency that we get a patch inserted in our suit of homespun philosophy. It is certainly highly irreverent to employ casks and barrels for the vile business of sewage disposal, for that would constitute the grossest insult to our master of finance. And so that's the reason that we have invented this instrument, which we have no hesitation whatsoever in designating by the title of Shit-a-Pump.
Pa Ubu removes the pump from his pocket and sets it on the table.
Hoi, mister! Mister! Yes, sir!
And now it's getting late. We shall retire to our slumbers. Ah, but I forgot. When you get back from Egypt, you will bring us some mummy grease for our machine. Although we are informed, horns trumpet, that the animal runs very fast and is extremely difficult to capture.
Pa Ubu picks up the pump and the green candle and departs from the room. The palcontents sing without moving, while the statue of Memnon is erected in the middle of the room with a barrel at its base.
Tremble and quake at Ubu, the lord of finance! Little Bergay, who's too big for his pants! No sooner awake is a 100 rounds to make! With a bang, he is out and flings open the door, where the verminous palcontents snuzzle and snore. With a kick on the bump, they fall in by the drum. There he reads marauders or bloodthirsty orders, throws them across me ties an onion raw, and with his boot inclines them through the door.
Great God, 2-6,
how late we are today! Bestir yourself, my lady wife, who pray! Hand me my shit-a-sword and money-tweezers!
Oh, sir, says she, her middle wife's suggestion! Of washing your dear face, is there no question?
The subject is distasteful to the Lord of Finance! Sometime king of Aragon, of Poland, and of France, through his vow brings the infiltrates his braces, as he bends his drum back towards the lonely places.
The pack tents march away. Ribantier and Akris enter from opposite sides of the room. Ribantier is dressed in the colorful clothes of Rentier, which we believe something of an effete capitalist dandy who lives off rental income.
Oh, it's shameful. It's revolting.
A miserable civil servant.
Oh, but it's like this. I've no way of staying at
home. I only get 3,700 francs a salary.
Ubu has long made his intentions
clear. And every morning, Ubu demands a payment of a treasury bill for 80,000 francs.
Besides saving your presence.
If I can't pay cash, I have to go and get a taste of the bleed cake machine.
He's installed a shitter pump. Look, you,
in my bedroom. Permanently
in
the Place de la Concorde. And for each session, he charges me 15,000
francs. Oh, there's someone coming.
It's shapeless. Let's revolt.
Another pal content.
Then they notice the other one in the room.
Whom do I behold? An emissary from the Master of Finance? Let's jolly him along. Long live Mr. Ubu!
Rather than risk being impaled again, I'd better agree with him. Look you! Kill him off! Look you! Debrain him!
Akris and Ribantier begin to advance on each other.
To the bleed pig! Death to Rentier!
To the stake! Look you!
Help! Help! Murder!
Oh there! Help!
Trying to flee the other, they crash into each other.
Mr. Palcontent, spare me!
It's revolting!
I didn't do it on purpose, look you!
I am a zealous defender of the Master of Finance and Chancellor of the Excredit.
I am a faithful supporter of Mr. Ubu. Oh, but it's like this, Governor. Look you, are you a fencing master?
I greatly regret, sir.
Cause...
But I have not that honor.
Cause... Look you! Oh, very well, if you aren't a fencing master, I shall hand you my card.
Sir... In that case, I see no point in any further dissimulation. I am a fencing master!
Oh, very well. Give me your card now, please, look you. Because I slap all fencing masters so that they are obliged to give me their card. Look you. And afterward, I give the fencing master's card to anyone who isn't a fencing master to frighten him. Because I'm a man of peace myself. Now that's understood? Very well then.
How revolting. But sir, you provoke me in vain. I shan't fight a duel with you. Besides, it would be too uneven.
As to that, look you, set your mind at rest. I shall be magnanimous in victory.
At that moment, a creature known as a woolly dog runs onto the stage and dives at their feet.
What?
A woolly dog. A woolly dog is a beast that looks like a cross between a tax collector and a stocking stuffed with coins.
It's infamous! This creature sent by Mr. Ubu has stripped my feet of their coverings!
Your multicolored stockings and your shoes, look you! And to think that I was going to ask you to escape with me!
Escape? Where to?
So we can give each other satisfaction, of course. But far away from Mr. Ubu.
In Belgium?
Or better still, look you, in Egypt. I shall pick up a pyramid or two for my collection of polyhedra. As for your slippers, look you. I'll have the cobbler from the corner come up and repair the damage.
Akris departs. Ribantier goes to sit down. But freezes when he hears Memnon atop the barrel base begin to sing.
A cabinet maker was I for many a long year. My dear wife was a dressmaker designing ladies' wear. Every blooming Sunday, if it wasn't raining, we'd put on our best clothes and toddle down to join the mob who came for the deep raining. Rue de la Show, the greatest show in town. One, two, watch the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the rentier's in a stew.
Ribantier in his rentier's outfit listens horrified as he stands in front of the barrel base. The palcontents enter on the other side, not seeing Ribantier.
Where are you? Where are you?
Soon with brain for plaster, the old girl and me, our two kids lap it up and we're all jubilating. As we watch the palcontent display his cutlery, the first incision's made and the numbered coffin's waiting. One, two, watch the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the rentier's in a stew.
Hip, hip,
Suddenly I noticed right up by the machine the half-familiar phiz of a chap I used to know. Hey there, I shout to him, so much for you, old bean. You tried to cheat me once, am I glad to see you go. One, two, watch the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the rentier's in a stew. Looking at my sleeve, it's my spouse as I perceive. Come on, you slob, she screeches, take a crack. Chuck a man-sized wad of dung at the lying bastard's tongue. The palcontent's just turned his ruddy back. Such excellent advice won't allow me to think twice. I summon all my courage and let fly. An enormous lump of shit. I summon all my courage and let fly. An enormous lump of shit. Meant to score a winning hit. Got the palcontent instead full in the eye. One, two, watch the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the rentier's in a stew. Toppled from my heap of stone on the barrier I'm thrown. As the palcontent turns round to see me nicked in. Down the hole with no return, poke like butter in a churn. And the people's justice claims another victim. So that is what you cop for a little Sunday hop. You get a show when necks are craning. You set out like a lord, and they return you on a board. Just because you fancy they be braining. One, two, watch the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. One, two, watch the wheels go round. Snip, snap, the brains fly all around. My, oh my, the rentier's in a stew. Hip, hip, ass over tip, hurrah for old Oboo.
Daylight floods the room, the palcontents quickly climb back into their pecking cases. Akris returns, followed by sight to Tomil, the cobbler, who has an assortment of footwear and a large tray.
So, out of consideration for the Unities, look you, we have been unable to come to your shop. Make yourself at home here, in this modest corner, and my young friend will present you with his request.
Mr. Cobbler, I'm the one who's escaping to Egypt with my worthy friend, Mr. Akris. The woolly dogs have stripped my feet bare. I should like to obtain some shoes from you.
Here's an excellent article, sir, though I blush to name it specialty of the firm. The Turd Cruncher. Just as no two turds are alike, so does a Turd Cruncher exist for every taste. These are for while they are still steaming. These are for horse dung. These are for the oldest coprolith. These are for sullen cowpats. These are for the innocent meconium of a breastfed baby. Here's something special for a policeman's droppings, and this pair here is for the stools of a middle-aged man.
Ah, sir, I'll take those. They'll do me very well. How much do you charge for them, Master Cobbler?
14 francs, since you respect us shoemakers.
You're making a mistake, look you, not to take this pair, look you, for policemen's droppings. You'll get more wear out of them.
You're quite right, sir, Master Cobbler. I'll take the other pair instead.
Ribantier starts to walk away.
But you haven't paid for them, sir.
Because I took them instead of those things of yours for the man of middle age.
But you haven't paid for them either.
Because he hasn't taken them. Look you.
Fair enough.
It's not a very new trick, look you. But quite good enough for an old botcher like that. He'll make up for it somehow.
Ribante and Akris are about to leave when they find themselves face to face with the palcontents.
Walk with prudence, watch with care.
We must hurry up and get in. It's daylight and our packing cases will be closed.
Hi there, palcontent 3246.
Here's one. Catch him and stuff him in your crate.
I've got you, Mr. Mummy. Mr. Ubu will be pleased.
Oh, but you've got hold of the completely wrong idea. Let me go, look you. Don't you recognize me? It's me, Master Ocarus, who's been impaled once already.
Sir, let me alone. This is a revolting infringement on the liberty of the individual. Besides, I am late for my appointment with the bleed pig.
Look out! The big one's getting away!
Oh, he's so lively, that one.
Come, Master Cobbler, and I'll pay for my shoes.
After them! Look you! Beat them up!
I'd rather beat it myself!
One of the Palkatets sets fire to Saitut Mill's hair.
But what a night! I have a hair ache! Ah!
Abominable continents!
The Palkatets proceed to roast Saitut Mill, the cobbler. Ah! Ah! Afterwards, they hurl Akris and Rambantier into the barrel base of Memnon. Himself toppled off it onto the ground to make room for them.
The woolly dogs, those golly wogs, the money bunnies, tweezer geezers, that unfortunate rentier, Mr. Rebontier, is covered with shit from head to feet, while the onlookers jeer, and not one spares here. Financial camels are left in his train, the financial camels, they've humped in vain.
The woolly dogs, the golly wogs, the money bunnies, tweezer geezers, that unfortunate rentier, Mr. Rentier, is covered with shit from head to feet. While the onlookers jeer, and not one spares a tear.
Act 4.
Memnon has picked himself up and readjusted his triple decker cap and his sewage waiter top boots. Willa, he signals to Ma Ubu beyond the doorway and she walks in.
Sweet Mistress Ubu, you may come in. We are alone.
Oh, my friend, I was so afraid for you when I heard all that shindy.
I want my barrel.
I don't want old Ubu.
We are observed. Let's continue this conversation elsewhere.
Horns, trumpet! We've taken possession of Master Akris's finance. We've impaled him and commandeered his home. And in this home, stung by remorse, we are looking for somewhere where we can return to him the very tangible remains what we have stolen, to wit, his dinner.
Mr. Ubu, I'm lost.
Through this diamond-shaped opening, I see his horns shining in the distance. Where can I hide? Ah, in there.
Don't even think of it, dear child. You'll kill yourself.
Kill myself? By Gog and Magog, one can live, one can breathe down there. It's all part of my job. One, two, hop!
Oh, what a shock! My head is booming from it.
Like an empty barrel.
Doesn't yours boom?
Not in the least.
Like a cracked pot. I'm keeping my eye on it.
More like an eye at the bottom of a chamber pot.
I have, in fact, the honor to be the conscience of Mr. Ubu.
Was it he who precipitated your shapelessness into this hole?
I deserved it. I tormented him, and he has punished me.
Poor young man.
That's why you must go back again, and me too, and Madam Ubu as well.
We get our eats from platinum teams!
Enter, horn strumpet!
The Falcon Tents enter, carrying green candles.
Grandpa Ubu. By this time, it's silly.
Enter, horn strumpet.
The Palkatans enter, carrying green candles. Pa Ubu enters, wearing a nightshirt. He squats down on the sewage barrel and it collapses. Ubu climbs back out of the rubble.
Is the shit pump out of order? Answer me or I'll have you debrained.
Memnon's head pops out of the sewage barrel.
It's not functioning at all. It's broken down. What a dirty business, like your debraining machine. I'm not afraid of that. It all proves my point. There's nothing like a sewage barrel. In falling in and popping out again, you've done more than half the work for me.
By my green candle, I'll gouge your eyes out. Barrel, pumpkin, refuse of humanity!
I gotta know. Is it a vibrator or something?
Oh, yeah.
Act 5
begins with Akris and Ribantier entering.
Sir, I have just witnessed a most extraordinary incident.
And I think, look you, sir, that I've seen exactly the same. No matter. Go on telling me about it, and we'll try to find the explanation.
Sir, I saw the customs officers at the Gare de Lyon opening a packing case to be delivered to... whom do you think?
I believe I heard someone say that it was addressed to a Mr. Ubu at the Rue de la Chaude.
Precisely, sir. And inside were a man and a stuffed monkey.
A large monkey?
What do you mean by a large monkey? Sabians are always fairly small and can be recognized by their dark coats and collars of fur of a lighter color. Great height is an indication of the soul's aspiration to heaven.
It's the same with flies, look you. But shall I tell you what I think? I'm inclined to believe they were mummies.
Egyptian mummies?
Yes, sir, that's the explanation. There was one that looked like a crocodile. Look you, dried up. The skull depressed as in primitive man. The other, look you, had to the brow of a thinker and a most dignified air. Ah, yes. His hair and beard were white as snow.
Sir, I don't know what you're driving at here. Besides, the mummies, including the dignified old monkey, jumped out of their case amid a chorus of yells from the customs men, and to the consternation of the onlookers, took the tram that crosses the Pont de Lama.
Great heavens! How astonishing! We two just came here by that conveyance, or... look you, for the sake of accuracy, that tramway...
That's exactly what I said myself, sir. It's most peculiar that we did not meet them.
Aha! Horn strumpet! You, sir, bugger off! You've been told to before.
Oh, but it's like this. Look you, this happens to be my home.
Horn of Ubu, Mr. Ribontier, it's you, I don't doubt any longer, who came to my house to cuckold me, who mistakes my virtuous wife, in other words, for a pisspot. We shall find ourselves one fine day, thanks to you, the father of an Archaeopteryx or worse, which won't look at all like us. Basically, we are of the opinion that cuckoldry implies marriage, and therefore a marriage without cuckoldry has no validity. But for form's sake, we have decided to punish him severely. Palkatents, knock him down for me!
The Palkatents leak on Ribantier and trash him mercilessly.
Lights, please. And you, sir, answer me. Am I cuckold? How disgusting. He can't reply because he fell on his head. His brain has doubtless received an injury to the Broca convolution, where the faculty of holding forth resides. Ask the hall porter. Excuse me, gentlemen, ask any philosopher. This dissolution of the mind is caused by an atrophy which little by little invades the cerebral cortex, then the gray matter, producing a fatty degeneration and atheroma of the cells, tubes, and capillaries of the nerve substance. There's nothing to be done with him. We'll have to make so with twisting the nose and ears, with the removal of the tongue and extraction of the teeth, laceration of the posterior, hacking to pieces of the spinal marrow, and the partial or total spaghettification of the brain through the heel. He shall first be impaled, then beheaded, then finally drawn and quartered, after which the gentleman will be free, through our great clemency, to go and get himself hanged anywhere he chooses. No more harm will come of him, for I wish to treat him well.
Hoi, mister!
Hornstrumpet! I've got to consult my conscience!
Pa-Ubu walks back into the laboratory. Meanwhile, Rabantier escapes. And the Palcontents pursue him, howling and screaming at his heels. Pa-Ubu returns to the room, leading his conscience by the hand. He says to Akris,
"Horn trumpet, sir, so you refuse to bugger off, like my conscience here, whom I can't get rid of."
Sir, don't make fun of Epictetus and his misfortune.
The Stickabetus is doubtless an ingenious instrument, but the play has gone quite long enough, and we are in no disposition to employ it today.
With a noise like an engine whistle, a mummified crocodile crosses the stage.
Oh, but it's like this, look you. What on earth is that?
It's a boidy!
It's the most characteristic reptile, and moreover, its hands possess all the properties of a snake.
Then it must be a whale, for a whale is the most inflated boidy in existence, and this animal seems thoroughly distended.
I tell you, it's a snake!
That should prove to Mr. Conscience his stupidity and absurdity. We had come to the same conclusion long before he said so. In fact, it is a snake. A rattler into the bargain.
Ugh. One thing's for quite certain, look you. It ain't no polyhedron.
You have just heard Alfred Jerry's Ubu Cuckold.
Cuckolded.
Okay. You have just heard Alfred Jerry's... You have just heard Alfred Jerry's Ubu Cuckold, restored to in its entirety as it was originally performed by the Marionettes of the Theatre des... Written in the 1980s, but
no,
not...
1890s!
written in the 1890s. Written in the 1980s. Written sometime in the past. It's been written. I don't know. I can't even remember when it was written. Written in the 1890s, but not published until 1944. 37 years after Jari's death, Ubu Cuckold is the second of the three Ubu plays. Ubu Cuckold's was translated by Cyril Connolly and adapted for radio by Rolf Semperbon, who also produced and directed. The performers were...
I'm David Nakumson.
Per Fogring.
Barbara Tilchy.
John Madden.
Revolution X.
Polkadot.
Conch.
Sweet Tooth.
Rolf.
Zach Newman.
Noah Eaton. And...
Buto.
Music performed by the master musicians of Kazooka.
Ubu Cuckold is a presentation of...
Solo Luna!
and...
The Ubu Hour!
The theater day. Desfinances. Desfinances. The theater day was translated by the... I'm sorry. Ubu Cuckold was transport.
Shit. I'm doing really well here. Yeah, that's okay.
Ubu Cuckold.
Wait a minute. Where are you?
Sorry.
Oh, now he wants you to do it again. Oh, crap.
Shit. I'm doing really well here. Yeah, that's okay.